spaces in our lives where our altar is broken down. We have left our family altar and it is in rubbles. We've left our personal altar and it's in rubbles. We left our church altar and it's in rubbles. We left our whatever altar you can think of, your altar of love, whatever it may be, it has been crushed, it has been demolished, and it's just laying there because there's no more sacrifices going on to it. There's no more work to be done. There's no more praying. There's no more nothing going on to these altars. And last week, we did a prophetic thing, and we took these stones, and we said that we take one stone for you, for your family, or whoever it may be, take the pen, and write upon it the altars you want to make and fix again and build up and start doing it. If you want to build up your family altar and you've struggled with it, and we said, come forward, take one and write on there, family. And this is your family altar. And this is just a reminder that you have to continue the work. You see that the fire have to be continually burning. The fire in the altar in the tabernacle was also never put out. It was constantly fed. Constantly fed. And the same thing with our altars. We need to constantly feed our altars. Constantly we need to sacrifice our worship, our meditation and everything to God so that the altar can be in a good order when we want to sacrifice to God. So the four I want to share of how we're going to rebuild this altar is, first, we're going to start with number one. And number one is herbou, rebuild. So 1 Kings 18:30 comes and it says, then Elijah said to the people, come near to me. Now, one thing we must know is that when the Baal prophets, they didn't allow the people to come close to the offering side. But when it was time for Elijah to talk to the Lord and ask the Lord to answer with fire, he said to the people, come closer. I want you to see this. God is saying to you this morning, come closer. I want you to see what I'm going to do. He goes on and he says, he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken. And Elijah took 12 stones according to the number of the tribes of the son of Jacob, to whom the word of the Lord had come, saying, Israel shall be your name. So, first thing that Elijah did, and we need to know why he rebuilt, because the Baal prophets broke down the altar of God. So Elijah came and he rebuilt, and he took the stones and he rebuilt the altar. He restored what was broken and he made it new. The first thing we need to do is we need to rebuild these altars. JP. This is my stone for my altar. Pick up the big one. It's fairly heavy. It's not that heavy, right? Please quickly go run outside and go find 12 exactly like that. It's fine, put it down. You see, he's laughing now because it's work. Because it's out of my comfort zone now. I'm busy here now. I don't want to run outside. I don't want to go pick up heavy, bulky stones to build an altar. See, in this place, Elijah comes and he starts working. Hy werk hard. Hy sit moeite in, hy sit tyd in en hy herbou. He rebuilds that what was broken down. It is work to do it. Because he must pick it up and he must make sure it is right and it doesn't fall over. There's a preparation. And you see, we are the same. We need to rebuild the altars that was broken down. We need to fix first what was broken in our lives so that we can prepare the altar for God to move forward. Amen. Last week we talked about the four altars. Just going to say it again. It's your personal altar, your family altar, the church altar, and the altar specifically for lost souls. And you can have your own different altars as well. But that was the four main ones we worked upon. So what again is the altar? It's a place where we can offer to God, to have abundance in God, to praise God. It is for meditation. It is for praying to God. It's to have communion with God. It's a place we can pray to God. And it's that structure is that we can praise God in that time for our family. Placing those altars and putting them in place. Number two is in 1 Kings 18 verse 32. Number two is scale yourself. Separate yourself. Number two is separate yourself. So the word of God comes and it says, 1 Kings 18, 32. Then with the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord, and he made a trench around the altar large enough to hold two sheaths of seed. So that two sheaths of seed is roughly about 7.5 liters. But just for illustration purposes, one bag will be roughly about that size. And two sheaths, and he made a trench around the altar, and he dug a trench around the altar, two sheaths deep. Okay? So the second thing we need to do there is that we need to be separated. The scripture we have here at his workshop is Romans 12 verse 2. But be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. You see, we can't think the same as the world. We need to be separated. We need to know. Because unfortunately, in these days, it's difficult to see who is a child of God and who is of this world. Because the separation is not big enough. They all look the same these days. They all talk the same these days. But the Word of God has called us to separate us from this world. He dug a trench so to separate the altar from the rest. He made a separation. You see, with this separation, the vision and the thinking here is a kingdom vision. You can my aangaan daarso dien. It is a kingdom vision because a kingdom vision is a godly vision. A kingdom vision is a life separated for God. You see, a kingdom vision in Matthew 18, it comes and it says, "Assuredly I say to you, unless you are converted and become as little children, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven." And I want to show you this one word, and it says converted. "Surely I say to you, unless you are converted." What does it mean to convert? It's to change. It's to be completely changed. You were walking this way, and I'm turning around and I'm walking 180 degrees, walking the other way. I used to be a sinner. Now I am saved. I'm converted. It means the full turn away from how you were into a new life. So the Word of God comes here and it says, if unless you are converted, unless you have consecrated yourself, unless you have separated yourself, unless you do that, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. It's kingdom focus. It's the focus towards God's people and the heavenly things, the godly things. You see, the kingdom of heaven is important. The kingdom of heaven shows us that God loves us. The kingdom of heaven shows us that God is a jealous God. Exodus 20 comes and it says that we serve a jealous God. And that is why we need to separate ourselves. Because God does not want to share us with this world. Amen. Number three is comes and it finishes net in three. It's fine. Bring order in your leven. Bring back order in your life. You see, because order matters. 1 Kings 18 verse 33. And he put the wood in order, cut the bull in pieces, and laid it on the wood and said, fill four water pots with water and pour it on the burnt sacrifice and on the wood. Then he said, do it a second time. And then they did it a second time. And he said, do it a third time. And they did it a third time. So the water ran all around the altar. And he also filled the trench with water. See the very first verses. And he put the water, he put the wood in order. See, God has order. And we serve a God that loves order. You see, he didn't just take the wood and chuck it on. Hy het dit behoorlik neergepak. Hy het dit gerangskik, sê die Bybel. You see, he put it in order. Now, as you can remember, about three weeks ago, we did the sermon about the order of God. The third thing we need is to, we need to reestablish the order in our lives. To rebuild the altar. We need to separate ourselves before God. And then we need to put, or we need to reorder our lives. We took the vase, for those that cannot remember, and we put in the stones, and there was no more space to fit in these two stones. But when we took these two stones and we put them in first and then put in all the pebbles again, there was more than enough space. You see, we need to reshuffle the order that we do things in. We need to place it nicely. We need to put it all in place. 1 Corinthians 14 comes and says, let all things be done decently and in order, says the Word of God. Ons dien 'n God van orde. You see, a certain order, and when you place things in order, it determines your capacity. Because when your order is incorrect, you can put stuff on top and it's not going to fit. You're not going to have the capacity to do anything else. But if we just rearrange the order, we will have capacity to do what God wants us to do. In the Afrikaans wat ek daar neergesit is, jou orde bepaal jou kapasiteit. Dan die lyn het so mooi sê ding ook, as 'n beursie vir elke liewe ding. Ek het niks meer nie, ek kan nie. Maar ek het R100 vir dit. En jy weet, as ek regtig iets anders nodig het, het ek geld daarvoor. Jy sien, want die orde is in die regte plek gesof. Die orde is net anders ingesit gewees. Die orde van belangrikheid vir jou is anders. Die orde om dalk miskien R100 te gee vir die kerk is nie in jou budget nie, maar die McDonald's Big Mac is. Die orde bepaal jy. You determine which order God comes in, and we need to reevaluate the order that we are putting it in. Lastly, and it's number 4, is call unto God. Roep tot God. Roep tot God. 1 Kings 18:36, and it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac and Israel, let it be known this day that you are God in Israel and I am your servant and that I have done all these things at your word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that you are the Lord God and that you have turned their hearts back to you again. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust, and it licked up the water that was in the trench. Now when all the people saw it, they fell on their face and they said, The Lord, He is God. The Lord, He is God. You see, in that moment, he called upon the Lord. You can't just rebuild your altar, separate yourself, and and put back your order and just leave it there. You see, you can fix things always in your life. And we are good at that sometimes, just to fix it, and we fix it until it is good enough. But it is not complete. The final step is to call upon the Lord. And when he called upon the Lord, it wasn't day and then noon and then night. And then noon again. See, God, when he was called upon, and when everything was placed, and everything was fixed, the altar was repaired, they were consecrated, everything was put in order, God answered with fire. Immediately. You see, when everything is placed in good order, God reacts. God bless. God uses. And it is important to know that we need to call upon the Lord until, and we heard it this morning, and dit is hoekom ek hou van wat Tannie vanmôre gesê het. Pastor Lane said this morning that they called until the waters came out. Do not stop. It doesn't come yet. Pursue it. Keep on going until you get the victory. There was a song we sang this morning, and the song, yeah. And the song started with, "There's no shadow you won't light up. No mountain you won't climb up coming after me." Next. There's no wall you won't kick down. There's no lie you won't tear down coming after me. You see, God always comes after us. There's no mountain he won't climb. There's no wall he will kick down. There's no lie he will tear down, because there's lies spoken over our lives constantly. And God will break down all of those things to come in answer with you if your altar is built correctly, if your altar is in place, Jy sien, dan sal God intree. Hy sal vir jou enige muur breek. Hy sal vir jou elke situasie, sal hy tot jou guns laat uitwerk. He works good for those who love him. Everything works for good for those who love him. And if you love him, you put your altar in place. You see, Elijah knew what he was doing. In Thessalonians, the word of God comes and it says, pray without ceasing. Call upon the Lord until he hears. Never stop. Never stop. And then it goes on and it says, it consumed everything. It consumed the sacrifice, the wood, the stones, and all the water. You see, when God comes into a situation and into your space, he'll consume absolutely everything until only he can be seen. He'll make sure no stone is in the way, no water, no nothing. The interesting thing which Elijah did was in that specific time there was a drought. And in that specific time, he asked them to throw buckets of water on top of the sacrifice, wetting it completely. 3 times he asked that. And then when that was done in a drought season, water was absolutely precious. Then he went and still filled the trenches as well. You see, he knew what God is going to come and do because he trusted in the Lord. And it is very interesting. He says the same words that Jesus uses. He said, Lord, I'm only doing what I heard you have told me to do. And he's a foreshadow of Jesus as well. Everything is consumed. Absolutely everything is consumed. He will come with his fullness. And your life is going to change. I promise you it's going to be different. My God werk in maniere wat ons nie kan dink nie. My God verander lewens. Wanneer jy jou altaar bou, en wanneer jy jou altaar reg het, kom verander God jou. God changes who you are. You are not going to be the same JP. You are not going to be the same Amy. You're not going to be the same Cindy. The same Leon. God changes us. When we build the sacrifice and we do what God expects us to do, he consumes us completely. You see, in that fire that came down to consume, the word of God comes and it says that he's a consuming fire. What does fire do to metals? What does fire do to organic things? He burns away everything that is impure. And the only thing left over is purity. He refines gold. Even wood, when it is burnt, and it is completely burnt, you get to the white ash. And the white ash, it's got potassium in it. But before that, it wasn't there. It burns away everything else and it leaves us with something that is purified. And that is what God wants from us. we need to rebuild our altars in our houses, in our families, our personal altars, so that God can refine us so that we may be used. You see, and I'm going to end off with this, is that God rewarded him publicly. He prepared everything as God said he had to do. And at the very end, God rewarded him publicly for everybody to see, because he even said, come closer, because I want to show you what I'm going to do. God rewarded his faithfulness publicly. You see, when you're going to build your altar in your family, he's going to reward you publicly. Everybody will see how your family is starting to live. Everybody will see the change in your family. Everybody's going to be curious of what is happening, because he's going to reward you publicly. In your personal altar, God is going to reward you publicly. Because if you build your altar and if you keep that altar, people is going to start seeing God working through you. You see, if you do your altar and you're faithful, he will reward you publicly in the church. Everybody will see God is starting to use you. We spoke this morning about the gifts of the Spirit. If you have your altar ready, Pastor Neil doesn't have to ask, does somebody have a word? It will just come. It will be ready. And people will start seeing the work that God has been doing through you, because your altar is ready. Your altar is in a place where it should be. He will reward you publicly, even when you win souls for him, because people will see that you are doing something for God. It's not about the appreciation and publicly, oh yes, people will know I've got a relationship with God. It's not about that. But God comes and he says in his word, in Matthew 6 verse 4, and your Father who sees in secret will himself reward you openly. Don't be afraid to accept the reward. If you start winning souls for God, people are going to look at you and say, wow, what does he have that I don't have? His altar is set up. His altar is ready. You see, God will always be glorified in the altar. Always be glorified in the altar. Because that is what he has put in place. For those that weren't here last week, I want to give another chance. The Stones is here. And we're going to end the service. And the music is still going to play afterwards. And I want to ask, if you haven't picked up a stone, or if you want any area of your life where you feel I have not successfully built my altar, and I just want to take this piece and write down family or church or personal altar, whatever it may be, come and just write it down. Take it somewhere, put it in your house where you can see it. It's not going to do anything in your house. It's not going to be supernatural and now everything is going to work. You see, you just put it in a place so that it may remind you that I need to keep my altar's fire in place. Amen. Let's close our eyes. Father, we thank you this morning that you are here. We thank you that you are faithful, and we thank you that you are true. Lord, thank you that we can just rebuild our altar, that we can rebuild what you have given us already. And Father, I ask that you would remind us when we see these stones that we must rebuild our altars, that we need to consecrate ourselves for you. We need to reorder and realign everything we do in our lives so that we can fit more of you in us, Lord. And Father, that we can call upon your name every time, is that Jesus did the work for us on the cross and opened up the channel that we may call upon your name at any given time. Thank you that we are here this morning, Lord, and that we can call upon you to help us to rebuild our lives based upon your kingdom and not ours. Thank you for what you are doing, Lord. We praise your holy name.